You know, I don't know what the laws are in North Carolina about talking on the phone, you know, while you're driving, whether you have to have a handheld or not or not or anything. But I'm sure there's got to be a law against podcasting while you're driving.
And if not, there should be.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. Thanks for bringing us along. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you are listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 153, The Red Roll. Before we get to the meat of this week's podcast, I just want to announce that, ta-da, over the weekend, we found out that the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast has once again been nominated for the 2009 Cultural Arts Podcast Award. We're enormously gratified that once again you, our listeners, turned out in such large numbers and visited podcastawards.com and nominated us. According to the Podcast Awards website, more than 321,000 people nominated over 3,500 podcasts. The nomination is a recognition of not only your votes and the weekly quality of the producing, recording, and editing that goes into each podcast, but the Podcast Award reviewers also take into account such technical issues like clarity of website design, show notes, RSS feeds, other subscribing options. And that means the nomination is also a huge congratulations to Reed Martin, RSE webmaster Matt Rippey, and podcast proselytizer Matthew Croak, the guys who collaborated on the original podcast designs and specifications, and in Rippey's case, the guy who keeps things running smoothly under the hood week after week. So kudos to them as well. I also want to thank the great variety of pod guests we've had over the past 3 years. Folks like the geek rock duo Paul and Storm, to Jeopardy writer Andrew Price, from the legendary Weird Al Yankovic, to novelists Jess Winfield, Jasper Ford, and Jennifer Lee Carroll, to comedians David Koechner, Rich Fulcher from The Mighty Boosh, and Phil Proctor and Peter Bergman of the Firesign Theater, casting directors, artistic directors, podcasters like The Word Nerds, The Inexplicable Dumb Show, and The Cool as Hell Theater Podcast, and broadcasters like Paul Harris and Bob Mondello, Scott Simon, and Robert Siegel from National Public Radio. All these folks have generously shared their talent, wit, and insight over the years and really broadened the scope of what the RSE podcast has become. So my grateful thanks to them as well. So the nomination was one thing. It's time now to actually vote for us to win. If it's between November 13 and November 30th, 2009, as you're listening to this, go to podcastawards.com and vote for the RSE podcast in the cultural arts category. Once again, thank you for taking the time to vote and for spreading the word amongst your friends. For the first time in the Podcast Awards, the NPR show This American Life is not nominated in the cultural arts category, which means, I think, we might actually have a chance to win. So thanks very much to you, and thanks very much again, and as always, to the members of the RSE family who graciously allow me to shove a microphone into their faces on a semi-regular basis so they can share with you their experiences and thoughts and backstage escapades, even as happened last week as I drove with Mick Orff and Matt Rippey across beautiful North Carolina.
In this car, we've got an hour and a half drive to from Durham, Duke University, to Greenville, North Carolina, the home of East Carolina University, and it's the best time to podcast, really, because it just makes the time go. We had a listener, he had a question about how we conceive the red roll. He said he knows that Rippey's character, Rippey and Dominic and Matt Croak and Adam Long, they're the man-child characters, and they know that me and Michael Faulkner and Jess Winfield are sort of the professorial types. And the red role has been defined as sort of the enforcer. But since we have an embodiment of the red role sitting right next to me here in the car, Mick Orff, how do you see the red role, the Reed Martin Daniel Singer role, as you play it from show to show?
Well, first of all, the word, you use the word conceive in there, and that's, I have, you know, no no right to use that in my description of things because I did not conceive any of these roles.
But you're interpreting the roles. So I guess that's the question. How do you interpret the red role?
Well, I this is not a prepared answer or anything. I didn't know you were going to ask me this question. I didn't know you were going to whip out the podcast tool here.
You
whip out the podcast tool. That's a good one.
You have been with you've been back with us for less than 48 hours. Really, if anything, I need to apologize for not sticking the microphone in your face sooner.
True. I should have expected it.
Yeah.
So interpreting this role, I was lucky in the way that I learned all the different shows because the first role that I learned was Coach in books. Mm. And of all of the roles, he is the most, like, enforcer. He's the most one who's, let's get this done, and you got the time crunch, and you got the, there's so many things pointing to that. And also, he's a, you know, he's a bit of a hard ass.
And he's a coach. I mean, he's literally defined as a coach.
Yes. So, I have to confess that I try to bring a little bit of that to each of the guys, to each of the Mick Orfs that I play in the other shows, because I'm just Mick Orf the rest of the time. That's the only one where I'm called Coach.
But when you're talking about the bringing a little bit of the coach to every role, I mean, I think that's a good analogy because the coach is not only the enforcer and the has that element of hard assery, but also he's the pep guy.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy who keeps us on track. He's the guy who drives us toward a common goal.
Yes, let's keep this going. Don't get off track. We need to do this. And he's, even though the professorial one, you are the, you know, the smart one, or maybe has a little more knowledge about each of the things we're trying to accomplish.
Or at least thinks he does.
Yes, I feel like a lot of times the red character is the, he's the final answer. He's the. He's the definitive one or the decision maker, often. So if you think about the different shows, the Hollywood show, he's the director. He's the one. Right. He's in charge. We're going to do this tonight.
Right.
Here's what's going to happen.
And I think of that role and the coach as also being the traditionalist of the company as well.
Yes.
The traditionalist in the sense that he would probably do the complete works of William Shakespeare in a more traditional vein than the professor or the man-child. In the Bible show, he's the one who just clings to this idea of Noah's Ark as the purest Bible tale.
Yes, and he's the most of the three in the Bible show. He's the one who believes in all the stuff and says, no, this is, you know, the God that I learned about in Sunday school is this.
Yeah.
And you make the whole universe seem random and absurd, but it's not.
Right.
Everything's predetermined.
Yeah. And he clings to that idea.
Yeah.
He clings to the idea. No, 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 please. I need it to be order. I need there to be order. And so, which totally informs the character, the red role character, I think, across all the shows, that need for order.
I agree. Order, and this is how it should be done, and this is the way it is, and all of those things. So, but it was neat for me to go. I kind of went backwards a little bit because I learned books first.
Yeah.
Not backwards, but kind of just all over the place. Then America, then Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have that the books thing first, to have Coach in there, because then as you look at the other shows, and then to learn the Shakespeare one last.
Right.
Ironically,
the one what started it all.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can still see all of those elements there. I don't know that when Jess and Daniel and Adam created this show that they were going someday we're gonna make five, six other shows and have this red guy be the boss the whole time.
But it's
neat to apply those principles and have the red guy have those elements.
Well, and it is the magic three, you know, the holy trinity of comedy groups, that whether you're a Marx brother or a stooge, you know, you want comic archetypes.
Yes.
Mo. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, all of the actors who play the red role are all very nice people, and you are no exception. But you're the one that we have to keep. I feel like we have to keep pushing to be just sometimes to be even more of a hard ass than you necessarily want to be because you're such a nice guy. For some reason, Reed and Jerry have no problem accessing that. I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure what that means. But like, I remember, I forget in what show we were directing you in, but it might have been the first one. Just we wanted you to access your inner Mo a little bit more.
That was definitely the Hollywood show. I had a hard time when I was first learning it because Number one, just there were general. That's the other tricky thing about this, uh-huh. is that even though you're doing this show and you got to be that the red character, my fingers making quotation marks. With the exception of Coach, when I really can just climb into that, but there's still Mick in there. It's still Mick.
Yeah.
But so, even though I'm that, you're still yourself. You're just heightened things of yourself, or you're still. It's still me.
Yeah.
And I'm still a great guy, let's face it. So there are times when I have to be a hard ass. So when I was first learning a Hollywood show, it was hard because you and Reed wrote it, you know, and Dominic helped create it.
Yeah.
And I'm in there with you and Dom trying to learn this show.
Yeah.
And I gotta go, hey, Austin, my boss, sit down and shut up. You know?
Yes.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yes. Yes, what you really need is a boss with supreme confidence, who absolutely takes no personal umbrage at any of that.
Well, I wasn't saying that
it's pretty clear that as the professor, I play a heightened aspect of my own self, a guy who uses words like umbrage,
exactly, and pink sweater. Just kidding,
salmon.
Sorry, and yeah, but and the same thing, you know, Dominic. Yeah. Who's been doing this show for 3 years, and I'm just walking in here. Do as I say.
I'm Diao Vu with Fox News Rising, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Enjoy.
Where can you see the RSC? Our autumn 2009 tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, Revised, continues this week at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, California, and then opens for 3 weeks in Madison, Wisconsin on December 4th. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for more venue and ticket information.
Well, I remember a directing teacher I had at Boston University in the MFA program there. He said, when you're talking about plays and talking about entertainments, he was saying, you know, you shouldn't stage a vehicle if you don't have a driver. And so if you're going to do a one-person show, that one person better be fantastic. Well, we've got a three-person show, and yet each character sort of needs to take the reins and drive the show in his own moments, but mostly it falls to the red role to be the driver, to be the whip cracker.
That's right, and there will be these pockets and times when you're driving or Matt's driving, wherever the green role and the black role.
Yes, the professor is the black role. The green role is the man-child role. And
yes.
I should explain. All of these designations come from London, based on the color tights that we were all wearing at the time. When they would bring different actors into the show, it was easier to say you're playing the green role than to say, oh, you're playing Adam's role. They didn't want it associated with an actor. They wanted it associated with tights.
Yes. Just to further confuse everyone who hasn't seen the show,
yes.
Now my character wears blue tights.
Yeah.
Matt's character wears red tights.
Yes.
And you've stayed with black.
I've stayed with black. Black is very slimming.
So it's just this whole big rainbow mishmash. You're reading your script and it's like the red roll, yeah. And you're looking at him going, wait, I'm red.
Oh. We are the Reduced Benetton Company.
But the united colors of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
But, you know, all this, it's actually helpful to me to have this conversation because we're in the midst of writing the sports show.
Ah.
And we wrote some sketches that are going to be fun, but they also need to be tempered with, fit into this idea that generally it will be Reed's character, your character, that will keep the complete world of sports on track. It will fall to my character, the professorial one, the windbag, to expound polysyllabically on the different aspects of sports,
and to say things like expound polysyllabically.
Yes, exactly. And it'll fall to the Rippy Dominic Green role to take us out into left field.
Yeah.
Which actually, the sports show, we literally can go into left field
because you'll be in sports. That's great. He can veer off.
Yeah,
he can run out of the base path, if you will.
He can go out of bounds.
Yes, he will and will.
Yes, that's right. Do you have a
a favorite? And it's a stupid question, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you have a favorite of the Red Rolls in the four shows that you know?
Yes.
What is it?
Coach.
Yeah, in books.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Easiest answer to give you.
Is it because it's the most like you personally?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Although, you know what's funny, though? I get cast in that role a lot of literally a coach. My part on Cold Case mm-hmm. was a basketball coach.
Okay.
And a bit of a yeller.
Okay.
I like it for a couple different reasons. One, it was just the first one I learned.
Yeah.
So that was so fun.
Yeah.
And even now, it's the one I did the most just because it was 6 weeks of, you know, 6 or 7 shows a week in Holland.
Yeah.
And then a month of 8 shows a week in Buffalo.
Wow.
And then I did it, quite a bit after that. But but then also, I like the little bit more of the character.
Yes.
I like a little bit more of that, you know, and he's got the whistle and the tube
yeah.
socks pulled up to his knees. He's a fun guy to be.
Yeah.
And he's such he's a hard ass and bossy and all the rest, but you still like him, I think.
Right.
There's something about him that the audience, they either remember that guy from their own growing up or
right.
I don't know.
Well, and it's funny to find those contrasts. So for instance, the coach, who's the tough guy, his favorite book in all of world literature is Little Women. You know,
yes.
or even in the Bible show, your character is the tough guy, and yet he clings to this childish faith childlike faith in the Noah's Ark tale, and of a God who rules benevolently and gives order to the universe. I mean, that's funny to find those contrasts.
Oh, sure, and he. Yeah, but in the same way, each of the guys, you know, the man child mm-hmm. character, the green character in all of the shows has some moment where he does this incredibly smart thing.
Yes. Right. Going back to your point about the most defined character is books. I mean, that's true in for my character, for the professor in books as well. I'm the grander than he really should be. High school drama teacher who insists on being called professor. and yet it's a similar character to the character I play in the Shakespeare show, the guy who plays Hamlet. Now, I came into that show, it was already, you know, already fully formed, but I came into the show just kind of going, all right, well, this is, my character is the guy who, the academic who thinks he knows everything about Shakespeare and who finally gets to play Hamlet.
Right.
And blows it with the to be or not to be speech, but then actually finally gets his moment in the final The Rest Is Silence speech, where without even trying, without even thinking, he suddenly knows he finally gets to play Hamlet correctly, beautifully, just as he dies.
And it's a nice little moment at the end.
Yeah. So that, I guess that's the trick too, is though, even though we write every show except books, and including the new show, even though shows are written as, you know, Reed, Austin, Dominic, Mick, Matt Rippey, as the characters, we need to write it and also then act it in such a way that we give definition to those characters, so it's not, they're not just types.
Yes. And that an actor coming in, whenever you hire somebody, it seems, we always joke about how, like, you and Michael and Jeff Marlowe
uh-huh.
are all, like, you know, good on the computer, smart, you all wear glasses. It's
yeah.
kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
With Rippy and Dom and Matt Croak, I haven't toured enough yet to say this definitively, but well, certainly they're all, and Brent Tubbs,
right.
they're all cute.
Yeah.
For some reason, the girls want to talk to them after the show.
Yeah.
But
they're
also
all goddamn adorable.
They're all so cute, I could punch them in the face. And
don't blame us; it's in the writing. It's all
that's
in
what
the
it
writing.
Is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Dimple face. And then. I say this with love and affection for these guys, but they're the ones, like, most likely to leave their jacket in the car or, you know, lose this thing along the way. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And,
So we embody, we're well cast, is what you're saying.
Yes, I think so. I think so. And I think the same holds true for Jerry and Reed and I, in that, you know, we like
we're traditionalists. We like, yeah. Look, we're not, and I'm like, I'm the worst one on the computer, you know? I'm the one, I would like to just sit down and watch the game and have a beer.
Like Reed, yes.
Yeah.
Like Jerry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But that says that when casting these roles, the red role, the black role, the green role, you want to find actors who somehow physically embody these traits. So they're not acting. That's the trick. You're not acting. I mean, I could play the coach, but I wouldn't be the coach in the way that you are. You know what I mean?
Well, and yes, I do know what you mean. Yeah, any of us could, if we in a pinch, could jump in and do the other guy's part, probably, yeah. Just because we, just from hearing it so many times.
Yeah, right.
But there would be a lot more acting going on. There would be a lot more like pretending and trying to be something that you're not.
Right.
Whereas it's so neat to do these roles, and especially to when you get some time with Reed to walk you through it and say,
yeah,
this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And he'll do this thing where he'll be like, turn this way and do this, and then you do it, and it gets this big laugh, and you're like, wow. But then the trick is, and it's not even a trick, it's just, don't just do it the way, don't do an imitation of him.
Yeah.
Do it this way, walk to this point and say the line this way, but it's you.
Yeah. It's you doing it. It's you embodying it.
And all those things that aren't in the script and all those things that aren't in the blocking and in the shows themselves, it's filled in with you.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your interpretations of the red role via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reducedshakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Green Roll Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Carla Dole. No reason, it's totally random. Special thanks to Dao Vu from Fox News Rising in Charlotte, North Carolina, and to Dan Chasemore, who emailed us this question about the red roll, thinking it might be an interesting topic for a podcast. I hope he was right. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 453/459 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
There should be a law against you podcasting altogether. They should have limits on it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.